So I was having dinner with Carol Terrio on Sunday.
Okay.
You know, the host of Smashing Security? Co-hosted with Graham Cluley?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. Well. Anyway, what she said was, if we could go 3 weeks without mentioning Smashing Security, her or Graham, then one of us would be able to go on their show.
Just not ringing any bells with me. Sorry, mate.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 84-ish of
87,
88-ish. Ish covers a whole range of things. Of the Host Unknown podcast. Welcome one and all. And in our case right now, it's one, because it's just Andy. Andy, how are you?
I'm all good, thank you very much. We lost someone along the way.
We did.
Oversleeping.
Yeah, something weight loss program.
Yes.
So he'll be along soon, I'm sure. I think he's watching a school play at the moment. Probably right at the front with his video camera, I'm sure. But yes, it's going to be an interesting episode. We are taking it nice and easy, taking it light. We've got a hard stop because Andy's going out for afternoon tea, don't you know?
Yeah.
So we're just going to kind of bluff it, if I'm perfectly honest with you.
As opposed to every other week.
To every other week, exactly. Exactly. So, Andy, how are you? What have you been up to?
Not too bad. I went to Nottingham earlier this week.
Ooh!
And yeah, it's strange, obviously. We've got this new Omicron variant going around,
yeah.
You know, the good one, the Decepticon one. and it's kind of strange. So I've been in the office up there and walking down the corridors, like not many people in, all socially distanced, you know, keep left, keep smiling, all that kind of thing. Wear your masks in this. Yeah. And so you wear your mask in the office with people, you know, very small amount of people, and that's all good. And then we went out for a nice team dinner. That was all good. Like big restaurant, quite well spaced, not too bad. And then we hit some pubs afterwards, and it was literally, you know, just wall to wall, shoulder to shoulder, no masks whatsoever. I just think, yeah, I can see how these rules are kind of, you know, they just don't make sense, right?
No, that's right. How can you go into a pub like that? It's that's bizarre.
Do you know what was embarrassing? And more so for colleagues of mine, because they obviously weren't talking to me, because, you know. It just wouldn't apply. We got to one bar to go in, you know, this is sort of after the meal. And they basically politely told my colleague that he was too old to come in.
What?
What they said was, you know, gave him a good look up and down and said, sorry, lads, it's students only tonight.
Oh, my God.
Which, obviously, you know, not referring to me at all.
Is that like, you're not coming in here with that grey hair, mate?
Pretty much, yeah. But yeah.
Not with those smart loafers. It's pub shoes only, mate.
Yeah, and then obviously it's, you know, followed by a couple of girls coming out with, you know, giving each other piggybacks. You know, absolutely hammered, sort of falling out the door. And it's like, yeah, we wouldn't have fit in here anyway. But it was all good, and it was all paid for by NCC. So thank you very much, NCC.
Oh, even better. Even better.
And they were definitely on a mission to get absolutely hammered to the point where I left early. That is how much drinking was going on.
Andy, you have reached an age, I think.
I know, 30. Unbelievable. But what have you been up to this week? I saw your Lego Christmas wreath on the front door.
Yes.
Is it still there?
It is still there, right. Amazingly. No, it hasn't been scallied off by someone.
Yeah, it wouldn't last in my area.
I'll pop a picture up that up in either the show notes or the tweet. But I think it looked quite cool, actually. From a distance, you wouldn't even guess it's Lego at all. So
no, it took Jav a minute, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Well, 24 hours, basically.
24 hours, yeah.
But it's up. Christmas has officially started. And actually, I was in Copenhagen. And Denmark, home of Lego itself, I believe. and I found a Lego shop, and it was being refurbished. So, oh no! I wanted to buy something from the Danish Lego shop itself, you know.
But, and did you ask any of the natives where you could buy Legos with an S at the end?
No, because I'm not an American. but yeah, it was good. I did an event for Isaka. I did the opening keynote for them for their Danish chapter.
Right, so it was actually security related.
Because, it was.
As we know, you will attend any event
Opening of an envelope, exactly. So did that. And then I did an event for ISAN, which is a West African security group, followed by a chat with a friend of the show, Quentin Taylor, for SC Media. So it was a busy, busy day that day.
You know I'm not your boss, don't you? Like, yeah, you don't have to justify your time to me.
That's right. No, I'm practicing for when I do have to chat with my boss.
I mean, I'm just going to, you know, say that you hardly work anyway, regardless of what you say and what metrics you produce.
That's right. Working hard or hardly working, am I right?
Oh, dear.
What have we got coming up for you today? Well, This Week in InfoSec finds us repeating ourselves, although just a little bit. Rant of the Week is inexplicably missing. Billy Big Balls is the triple crown of Billy Big Ball moves. Industry News brings us the latest and greatest security news stories from around the world. And finally, Tweet of the Week explores the real reason behind why we have security controls. So let's move swiftly on to this week's...
This Week in InfoSec.
And this is This Week in InfoSec, with content liberated from the Today in InfoSec Twitter account and from further afield this week. So our first story takes us back not just 8 years ago, but also only 1 year since we last spoke about it. And that was the story that on the 4th of December 2013, Mr. Troy Hunt launched the site Have I Been Pwned? And at launch, it included passwords from the Adobe, Stratfor, Gawker, Yahoo, Voices and Sony Picture breaches. You know, within their index. And obviously, it's just gone from strength to strength in the 8 years since.
It's quite an amazing research. I mean, the fact that it now hooks into people's, password creation and account management systems such that it will search it to see if that password has been used before, whether it's been vulnerable, you know, all that sort of stuff. It's really quite a massive success story, it has to be said. Somebody who just fired something up on AWS and bunged a bunch of records in, right?
Yeah, although was it not Azure? I think Mr. Hunt's
Microsoft. Oh, of course,
he was a
Microsoft chappy, wasn't he? Yes. Yeah, you're right. It is Azure. But despite the handicap of Azure, it's still a massive success.
Oh, that's a whole different topic.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm going to move us on. Our second story is from a whole 25 years ago, which just doesn't seem real to me anymore. We're going back to the 1st of December 1996 when America Online launched a new subscription plan offering their subscribers unlimited dial-up internet access for $19.95 a month. So previously, AOL charged $9.95 a month for 5 hours of internet usage. And this new plan, unlimited for less than $20 a month, brought in over 1 million new subscribers to AOL within weeks. And their daily usage doubled amongst subscribers to a whole 32 minutes per day. can you believe that? Like, they're unbelievable numbers there. And the huge increase was so big, it actually overloaded AOL's infrastructure. And it meant so many people couldn't access a service. And this is, I think, where they got a lot of their bad name from. And as we're talking about in America, this was the class action lawsuits were obviously filed by people who could no longer access the service they were paying for. But regardless of, you know, the trouble and poor reputation they had, which kind of stuck with them over the years, you know, offering unlimited internet access for a reasonable fee, it was AOL that really sort of helped facilitate that increased adoption of internet usage amongst people back then.
That statistic is fascinating because I think I was only up for 15 minutes this morning when I'd used 32 minutes of internet usage.
Yeah, and obviously Apple do this thing every week where I'm sure, you know, other devices do it as well. But if you've got an iPhone, it tells you how much time you spent online. And, you know, I regularly sort of hit 9-10 hours a day.
Which app, though?
Well, all of them. But TikTok is one of the... it's certainly my biggest usage, although I prefer it when they classify it as social media.
That's right. You know, that's right. For legal purposes.
Yeah, but it's pretty much TikTok, Reddit, and then that's it.
But
I read a lot.
It is interesting that, you know, using it to... doubled it to 32 minutes a day. It was very much used almost like as a phone call almost. I will dial up and find this out and then I will disconnect because it was a phone call quite literally and it would hog up your phone line. So it was
but then
it's changed. Sorry,
so much. Yeah, so I remember 96 was, I think I was really sort of getting online by this time. You know, sort of 96, 97, you know, phone bills astronomical because, you know, the UK didn't have this unlimited dial-up until FreeServe came along, you know, much later. But, you know, it was chat rooms at the time that really got me going. And this is the reason, you know, I used to go to colleges and universities' computer rooms and just use them for the chat rooms because it was easier just to use, you know, someone else that had...
and those are the days when you could just walk in.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, just I borrowed a friend's card. Canterbury University, your old haunt. Down quite frequently. And I don't know if you remember, on the walls they had things like, you know, be aware of becoming addicted to the internet and look for these signs. And, you know, if you're spending more than 2 hours a day online, you may have a problem.
if you are using your friend's student ID to gain access to the internet, you may have a problem.
Yeah. But it's just this whole world, you know, we're regularly conversing with Americans or Australians and, you know, just in real time as well. That was the crazy thing. I mean, if you think just some of the things used to happen back then, you know, films would be released in the US and it would be months before they came to the UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I don't even remember the TV program Neighbours, you know, the old soaps in Australia, you know, that was like they're 9 months ahead of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, wow, what, you know, what does that mean? You'd have someone that went to Australia, recorded an episode and came back.
Wasn't it 6 months? Because then that meant that winter in Neighbours in Australia hit winter in the UK.
Oh, was it? Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't know this. I just know it was so far
ahead. It was. And that's not uncommon. It was. It's certainly less common now, but certainly at the time it was about
Well, that's the thing now is, you know, because of the internet, you know, things like, Game of Thrones, it was pretty much released at the same time over here as it was the US.
Well, it has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because you know, otherwise...
People pirate stuff.
Well, precisely. You know, if you are going to, you know... you know, put people at a disadvantage purely based on where they live, then they, you know, and then you're going to push adverts for said thing globally, then of course you're going to encourage people to download it, to get hold of it in any way they can.
Yeah.
This week in InfoCert.
Yeah.
So
here we go. Father Christmas has arrived.
How was the school play? Did you video it all?
Oh, my God. Do not get me started on the school play. It's this is going to turn into a rant of the week, and I don't want to rain the parade. But parents, put your damn phones down. You are not Spielberg. You are not, you know, shooting. Just horrible. I was sat like two rows there back, and I
spot the Android user.
I could not see a thing because everyone was crowded, standing up, their arms extended, viewing. Be there for your children. Be present in the moment. Build the memories. If all you're going to do is experience your lives of your children through a flipping 4-inch screen, don't be surprised if that's all they, you know, if they look up and say, draw a picture of mummy and they draw the back of an iPhone, you know why.
So what you should have done, Jav, was get your phone out and then zoom in onto one of the screens in front of you, and then you could have watched the play.
Yes, I could have. I could have. It's like, why? Why? And I get it. You want to make a little, you know, if you take a few photos, make a little, but then sit down and enjoy the production. The kids have put so much effort into it. And, you know, you're just like, who is it for? Who is it for? You're going to post it on WhatsApp and no one's going to care, or Facebook. No one cares about your kids' production. Oh,
except you.
Yes, yes. But even I.
What? But even then, not even you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. Have we just gone full circle here?
I don't know.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast. Bubblegum for the brain.
Okay, and a break from our usual programming, let's move on to this week's...
So this week's story is about a former Ubiquiti employee. Ubiquiti Networks make a whole bunch of networking equipment, as the name would imply. UniFi is their sort of flagship Wi-Fi product. If you head over to Troy Hunt's page, he's got an extensive write-up on how he uses UniFi everywhere, and he's a big Ubiquiti fan. A bit too expensive for me, so I'll just take his word for it.
Anyway, you're just sticking with the cans and the wet piece of string in between.
Yeah. Honestly, it just works. Those power line adapters are just good enough for me. But so a few months ago, back in March, Brian Krebs broke the story that Ubiquiti had a breach, some sort of ransomware, and data was getting exfiltrated, all sorts of stuff.
I think we covered the story, actually.
We did, yes. Now, are you ready for the plot twist?
Ooh.
So, today, or recent, this week, a former Ubiquiti employee was arrested and charged with stealing the files from the company's AWS and GitHub infrastructure. That employee attempted to extort his employer. At the same time, he posed as an anonymous hacker and whistleblower and leaked the story to Krebs.
Whoa!
So Krebs got played by this employee who was trying to extort the company from which he had himself stolen the files. It's a bit confusing, I get it.
Is Christopher Nolan going to make a really confusing film about this?
Yeah, yeah. This is kind of like the Kaiser Soze of insider threats, I think.
The Inception.
Yeah. So he's the good guy, the bad guy, and the guy telling everyone there's a problem.
And he was trying to fix it. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think it's like it takes balls to be an insider in a company and steal files. It takes balls to steal files and extort your employer. But I think it takes really big balls to steal files, extort your employer, and then pose as a whistleblower and leak the story to Krebs. That apparently caused the company to lose millions in losses as reputation, and I assume
the share price dropped.
Yeah.
So damn. I'd love to know how he was found out.
Well, wouldn't we all? I'll post some links to the story. I look, you know me, I don't go past the headline, and that headline just had me like, wow.
What was the headline? Three sets of balls on this guy.
Yeah.
Billy Ubiquiti.
Yeah.
Oh, almost. It was almost
Billy
there.
Ubiquiti balls. Yeah, almost.
Yeah. So our
Bill
friend
Ubiquiti balls.
Catalin Campanu, who has got a fantastic Twitter thread with lots of nuggets of information, but he says the best part of this whole indictment is that Sharp, the name of the person, was called into work on the incident response and immediately proceeded to attempt to ransom the company for 50 bitcoins, promising to reveal how he got in and return the stolen files.
Oh man.
Ubiquiti didn't pay and call law enforcement, who found the VPN IP leak and raided Sharp in March. He was apparently told they identified the VPN leak, but Sharp denied paying for the Surfshark account, claiming that someone else used his PayPal to do so.
I mean, you got to be genius. Some kind of, yeah. So you're not the smartest tool in the shed when you're you pay for a VPN. You just leave this huge audit trail, right? And it's a type of thing where he would have probably got the ransom, then just deposited straight into his, you know, bank account.
Yes.
You know, like $2 million straight into the bank account the day after the company pays it. And he's like, no, it's not me, bro.
Oh, dear. Excellent. Thank you for that one, Jav.
Billy Big Balls of the Week. This is the Host Unknown podcast.
Andy, have you got time?
Let me just double check. Oh, interesting. It's that time of the show where we head over to our news sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
Industry news.
Clearview AI to be fined $22.6 million for breaching UK data protection laws.
Industry news.
Cyber Essentials set for major update in 2022.
Industry news.
Sixer school district to scan children's devices.
Industry news.
MI6 boss, digital attack surface growing exponentially.
Industry news.
Organisations now have 76 security tools to manage.
Industry news.
Twitter to remove private media.
Industry news.
Russian bulletproof hosting kingpin gets 5 years.
Industry news.
Police arrest 1,800 in major money laundering crackdown.
Industry news.
Phishing scam targets military families.
And that was this week's
Industry news.
Huge. Interesting. Huge if true.
Huge if true. 76 security tools. Really?
Yeah. Well, that's... so I'm looking at this. This is from research from Panacea, as I understand. Yeah. So obviously, you know, the vendor that pulls together a lot of, ingests a lot of data and presents it in nice dashboards. I think you'll find them up in Gartner's Tragic Quadrant somewhere. you know, as a tool of choice. Yeah, and I guess, you know, this is one of, because it's an in-house survey, I'm guessing, you got to take the stats with a pinch of salt. Right? Yeah, so they're saying that sometimes, yeah, from Excel spreadsheets through to every other tool that they get to try and simplify the management of Excel spreadsheets.
So what, they're including Excel in this? Because Excel, for me, would substitute at least 25 of those tools.
I think they were sort of referring to Excel as the reason people acquire tools, because they try and move away from you know, spreadsheets and sort of other in-house solutions.
No, they don't need another tool. They just need to open another tab, another workbook.
They do. Excel is the best, still the most popular security tool used by professionals around the world today.
But not for gathering statistics on COVID infections. Remember the limitations of, what was it, 76,000 rows or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
When you confuse your rows with your columns, or you know, that's what happens. So, simple mistake.
And also, you know, let's not lose sight of this. What was it, 10 billion, whatever it was, that for test and trace? I mean, these Microsoft Office licenses aren't going to buy themselves.
Well, very reasonable cost as well.
Yeah.
So, a story that caught my eye was this one: the Texas school district to scan children's devices. And they're basically saying they're going to do it to check if anyone's, they're going to look for keywords to detect if anyone's bullying other children. And they're saying it's to dissuade cyber bullies and identify students with mental health issues. But like, to go through someone's device to say you're checking, you know, if they're harassing someone else is
you know it's going to backfire.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's this doing on here? You can't have this on there. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again the case of like using technology as like the fix all of everything wrong when it's a teaching issue, it's a societal issue, it's a parental issue.
Yeah.
You know, that big jock that likes to give kids wedgies. I don't know. It could be him. It might not, but I don't know. Yeah.
It's like the whole thing of, you know, let's address school shootings by changing the shapes of corridors and teaching kids how to how to take cover, lock their classroom door and take cover behind desks.
Yes.
You know, but wearing a mask to school will be traumatic.
Oh, that impedes on liberties and
no, it's trauma. I tell you. So yeah, it's completely. I'm lost for words. I'm gonna shut up.
Wow, that's a first. Great.
I'm broken. I'm broken when it comes to stuff like this now. Cyber Essentials major update in 2022. I'd be really interested to see how this comes out because I'm a fan of Cyber Essentials. I'm fully behind what it tries to do. It is flawed, but it was a great start and it was easy to access and easy to engage with. So I think it was a good way of getting companies to get on board with it. So I'd be really interested to see what the major updates are. Andy, have you got any insight into this?
I do. It's around homeworking and usage of cloud. It's been added as a significant vector of risk to people.
That would be good because the last time I've had to use it, it was all for companies that worked from home.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. You know, it's aimed for companies with what, less than 500 people?
Yeah.
And I think this is lost on, you know, a lot of security professionals. Oh, it's so basic. Of course it's basic.
Exactly.
And then what we end up doing is creating another standard because the first one's not good enough. You know, there's the right standards for the right size company, right? You know, if you're a bigger company, go for ISO, you know, 27001 or something and get SOC 2, you know, reviewed, certified, ISA 3402. You know, there's... Just find out what's right for you. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Cyber Essentials. And it does the basics very well. Firewall, secure configuration, access controls, malware protection. You know, you get those things right.
And account management. You know, do you know when people join your company and leave your company?
Yeah. And user awareness. Do your users know what their responsibilities are?
Yeah, exactly. I found it very good. I mean, I got Cyber Essentials certified when I was running my company. And it... For me, it wasn't a challenge. It was quite straightforward. But when I helped other companies through it, and I know you were an auditor, Andy. And
I was
on the other side of that. And in fact, you signed off on one of my clients, as I recall.
Oh, yes.
Hold on. You, Andy, signed off on one of your... No conflict of interest there. No, like...
Hang on a second. Right, let's explain this. This wasn't... this was through my company. It was, I didn't even know it was Tom's client at the time. I think, was it, you had the previous certificate.
This is very convenient. This almost sounds like Matt Hancock. I didn't know he was my friend who had that company that got awarded that £1 million contract.
Right. So I will let you know, everything goes centrally via, you know, the people that run it, IASME. And they just issue out the assessments to people.
Order.
Exactly. Yeah. So, no, all above board.
We found out afterwards, anyway.
I think we
found out afterwards. But I liked the way it was laid out. And actually, I could spend time educating people as to why they're doing something. That was the most important part, I think. You know, I obviously shuttered the business, but, you know, all the ones that I know have gone on and recertified again the second time and third time. So,
yeah.
You know.
Must anyway. Have had a good auditor that first time to steer them right.
Right. Thank you very much. That was this week's
Industry News.
Are you not entertained?
What?
The judges were. You're listening to Europe's most entertaining content.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
The Host Unknown Podcast.
And we're going to go on now to yet another...
Tweet of the Week.
And we always play that one twice.
Tweet of the Week.
This week's Tweet of the Week comes from John Obdenaker, and he says, why are people from Norway so good at editing files in Linux? And you know, when I first read this, I thought, you know what, I'm wondering, there's probably a very good reason. It's because their ancestors are Vikings.
Whee!
Oh, man, that is just...
Hey... Hate the game, not the player. So, and our next one is from Mick Douglas. One thing InfoSec techies don't talk or think about enough is that well over half of the purpose of an org's InfoSec program is to defend it against insurance adjusters, regulators, and auditors. Many big-name tools are deployed only to satisfy those groups listed above.
Interesting.
That is so true. That is so true.
So true.
I don't know if it's black and white.
I don't like the language of it.
No, I get the intent. And, you know, this reminds me of a clip, it's an old one by Steve Jobs. So you like this, Tom. And
he already liked it. He hasn't heard it yet.
I agree. Like, are you sure you want to read the article before resharing? No, I just want to read it.
Double heart, smiley, so blessed.
Yeah. So he goes that when you look at, he said, when you look at the difference between marketing literature between Japanese companies and American companies, Japanese companies hardly ever use the word quality. They never describe their products as having good quality, whereas American companies do. And he goes, but when you ask the average consumer of electronic goods, which products do you find have quality? They will inevitably
always
say
Japanese.
Yeah. And they say, like, quality isn't something you tell people about. It's something your consumers experience and they see for themselves. It doesn't matter how many awards you've won. It doesn't matter how many, you know, whatever. Like, I'm the top 30 under 30.
Is this a speech that someone gave you, Jeff, when you were talking about an award that you had won? I think you missed the message.
You know, now that you put it like that.
Well, it's true, right? That's what's the old saying? A lion doesn't have to tell people it's a lion.
Yes.
You know, it's just obvious when it walks in the jungle.
Yeah. Is that why when you go to weightlifters? I was going to say Weight Loss Anonymous. You don't stand up and say, "Hey, I'm Andy and I'm overweight." Because
also, lions don't live in the jungle.
Okay, they live in London too.
No, they live in Florida.
Ain't that the truth?
But yeah, I think this tweet. I get the under because I have absolutely no idea what point you were trying to make with that quote there, Jav. But I think the and please write in if anybody did actually get it. But I get what he's trying to say. But the language is you know, program is to defend it against insurance adjusters. It just sounds like there's no sort of collaboration here or anything like that, and that. You know, regulators, auditors, insurance companies, etc., are the enemy here, and that just feels very, very wrong.
You're right that it's wrong, but unfortunately, it represents the truth in a lot of.
But
it.
You're wrong because it's
Venn
right.
Diagram, a huge Venn diagram of this conversation.
No, it is the reality.
You're right that it's wrong, but you're wrong that it's right.
Yes, it is the reality. It's wrong that it shouldn't be that way in an ideal world. There should be more collaboration. However, many organizations still view it as an adversarial relationship. And I think that does need to change. Absolutely.
And it will continue for as long as we consider it to be an adversarial relationship.
So I'm thinking of like examples where it's, so things like anti-malware tools on, you know, Linux devices, right?
Yeah.
Where it's you don't. A lot of the tech guys will say, actually, there's no benefit to on this. You know, the threats that this particular asset would experience are just not there. But no one's prepared to tell the insurance company that we don't have anti-malware.
You know, exactly.
On this tool. So it gets rolled out and deployed regardless.
That's exactly the point. That's exactly it. I mean, this goes back to the shelfware research I done many years ago when I was at 451. And say, like, WAFs came up a lot. And a lot of people were like, we just deploy it because of PCI DSS. It's, you know, either you get a full code review or you put a WAF in place or something and it goes, it's just easy. And you just put it in just like pass-through mode. So it's not really doing anything, but you say,
but you can say you got a WAF.
You say you got a WAF and it's installed and there it is. And the QSA says, happy days, and walks off. So, you know, there is a lot of that stuff that goes on for the sake of regulators. And I think, you know, and Andy, you probably know better than most of us here how...
Well, the only one that does any work.
How it's difficult to sometimes get an auditor to see reason that here's a perfectly adequate compensating control or the reason why the risk doesn't exist, but they're like, nah, here's a checklist. I need to see something there.
Yeah. Completely agree. Completely agree.
I knew you'd come around, Tom.
but I'm right in that I'm wrong. Or am I wrong in that I'm right? Can't remember.
You're like Wreck-It Ralph.
Gonna wreck it! Okay, that was this week's... Tweet of the Week. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We draw to a close just in time for Andy to leap onto his speeding train to get his lovely cup of hot Earl Grey, some nicely cut cucumber sandwiches and a few cakes and scones.
There's going to be more than a few cakes, my friend. I can tell you that. AAA is not playing on a Friday.
Are you going on the Orient Express or something? What train are you on?
He's going for an afternoon tea. You'd have known if you arrived on time.
I'll be in St. Pancras, if anyone wants to. The Renaissance Hotel.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's the restored part of St. Pancras, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. It's absolutely beautiful there. Absolutely beautiful. Anyway, Jav, have a wonderful weekend. Send us all the videos you took of the school play. Love to see the backs of people's heads and the fronts of their phones. I'm looking forward to that.
With crappy audio.
Mm.
I will do. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for eventually turning up. And Andy, thank you very much, sir.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashing security.
We didn't even discuss the new Tiger King, which I noticed you titled the episode.
We didn't. I did talk about lions being in Florida, though.
Yes, true. You did. I didn't mention it because I didn't want to get dissed by you to saying that, we've already spoken about that. Look at you prioritizing your son over this podcast that we do for free.
Exactly.
For the people, Jeff.
We've got our
free, it's for the people.
Yeah, we've got our priorities straight here, mate.